And welcome back to another Go for the Stick Flagstick podcast. I'm your host, Scott McLeod, the associate publisher from Flagstick Golf Magazine, joined once again by Jeff Botter, the publisher of Flagstick. This is the day 4-5 wrap of our PEI road trip. If you caught any of our 1, 2, and 3 day of our podcasts, our previous one, you'll know we are in Prince Edward Island for our annual road trip. This is the trip Jeff and I have been taking for the last, I guess this is year 19, and this year we are in Prince Edward Island. So we didn't get to the podcast last night, unfortunately. We had a fairly busy day, and there's some other things going on in the world, so we didn't quite get to recording, but we're back tonight. Jeff, how have the last 2 days been for you?
Well, they've been pretty good. We've played a couple more rounds of golf at a couple, I'll say, decent courses. We can get into what those courses were, but I'd say they were pretty good.
Obviously, we had a couple of courses that we played early in the trip with Glasgow Hills, Mill River, Green Gables, and then we made our way to Brudenell River Golf Course, which is on the eastern end of Prince Edward Island. Yesterday, we quite enjoyed that. That is actually at a facility that has 36 holes. We're off to play the second 18 there tomorrow. Basically, Brudenell was an initiative by the government to sort of get involved in the golf tourism business. The golf course is built in 1969. It was a C. Robbie Robinson design, and it's kind of unique. For those who haven't been to the golf course before or seen it, it has hosted a Canadian tour event back in the day and has hosted some other different events over the years. I know Laurie Kane had a challenge event that was held there. I think that was about 2000 or so. But it's a unique configuration, the fact that it's 6, 6, and 6, par 3s, par 4s, par 5s. And the fact that, you know, we got a golf course now that will be celebrating their 50th anniversary next year. Yet it still holds up to the modern era of golf. And we are joined there by a couple from Ontario as well, which was nice to have some other people along with us. If people listen to the podcast, they'll know that Ben King, the pro at Green Gables, played with us there. But this time we had two just visitors to PEI with us, so it was nice to be able to share some of our experiences with them and for them to also give us some feedback on the course itself. Now, this being day 5 today, we moved on to another golf course, the Links at Crowbush Cove. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. And had an interesting dinner tonight as well, with a group of travelers that are visiting Golf PEI, which was interesting as well. But let's start with Brudenell, Jeff. I mean, you know, you hadn't seen the golf course before. You hadn't been to that part of the province, obviously, yet within the trip. What were kind of your first impressions of going in there and seeing the golf course, seeing the facility?
I thought the facility was quite impressive, just with the being that it's a resort, not just two golf courses there, but it's also a resort, so You can stay and play, if you will. And, you know, getting a chance tomorrow to play the second golf course, which I know from what I saw yesterday and from what you've told me, very different golf course than Brudenell. I enjoyed Brudenell. I thought it was very playable. Some very, very beautiful holes out there. I didn't find myself getting into quite as much trouble at Brudenell as I had at some other golf courses that we played. And, you know, all in all, a really enjoyable experience.
Yeah, there's a number of holes that are down near the river, which makes for some nice scenery when you're going down there and playing those particular holes. Some par threes as well that, are, you know, have water into play. Not overly long as far as those par threes are concerned. There's a couple of them that are lengthy that caused us some issues that way, but definitely picturesque and scenic. You know, as far as people characterizing it as a golf course, you know, it's typical of a C. Robbie Robinson golf course built, you know, kind of in that time period, but it, you know, built on nice parkland. It's not wide open or anything like that. It certainly has some shot values and some par fours as well that you know can't always just hit driver on, but there's some that you can kind of unload that way. Definitely some opportunities on the par fives, although we didn't quite take advantage of them.
I was gonna say, you would think there'd be opportunities on the par fives, but I didn't find any of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of short par fives that were converted to par fours when they played the Canadian Tour event there, which are a little bit, you know, a little bit shorter and do present those challenges, whether you take advantage of them or not. But I think overall it's a golf course that's not long. It's just about 65-40 in that sort of range from the back tee decks. So it's not something that's going to really beat you up. There's some room to play there. Even though a course that is, like you say, 50 years old or almost 50 years old, there's not a lot of encroachment there as far as trees or things like that. So it's grown in and getting really tight or things. So it's something that's fairly good as far as a resort golfer coming in and playing that way. And I think, you're going to see Dunderave tomorrow, and you're going to see a little bit more width in that golf course, a little more length there as well if you really want to play it. I think it can play close to 1,000 yards longer than Brunel, which I don't think we'll be playing from back there. But overall, as you said, really good facility there with the accommodations available. Anne Chouinard, who's the pro there, is just amazing. I mean, she's been there for quite some time, and she's revered here on the island for her work ethic and how charming she is and just what a great job she does with guests, taking care of things. I mean, we pulled into the parking lot and she was actually running around chasing stray dogs when we got in there, and she's like a water bug running around all over the place, and she does a fantastic job, and she's a great host that way. We're looking forward to getting back and seeing her. Pretty quiet night last night, obviously, as I said, all sorts of things going on. We had intentions of maybe driving back into town and catching a Charlottetown Islanders game in there, but we didn't do that. Anyways, we'll work our way into day today. Obviously, we're staying at Rod Crowbush Resort, which means we have the opportunity here today to play the Lynx at Crowbush Cove. We did have a little bit of concern, I guess, heading into the day with some storm systems heading this direction of whether we're going to see some heavy rain and maybe some unplayable conditions. But we woke up and it was raining, but we still headed out anyways. And although we did eventually end up dealing with some weather type things, and maybe you can mention that as far as what we dealt with, we had the pleasure of playing with Ryan Garrett, who's the general manager for PEI's Finest Golf, the provincial golf courses here, and Robbie Yunker, who works for Golf PEI, and got off to an interesting start into the wind and playing the Lynx at Crowbush Cove. Now, I remember when Lynx at Crowbush Cove opened in 1993, been back several times, have played it fairly often in all sorts of different conditions. It was your first shot at the golf course. We had a quick look at it last night when we drove in, kind of got up on the deck and had a peek around, but that's always different than actually playing the golf course itself. How did you find the golf course?
Well, I thought the golf course was everything I expected that it would be and more. I think we our grouping made the decision to step it back and really get the full Lynx at Crowbush Cove experience and play from the Crows, which is a little over 6,900 yards. But people have to understand that a little over 6,900 yards, when the wind is gusting at 78 kilometers an hour, it can make it play more like about 7,800 or 7,900 yards at times. And it can make it play like 5,000 yards at times if you're lucky enough to get something going straight downwind. I really enjoyed the golf course. Particularly enjoyed sort of the closing four holes, 15, 16, 17, and 18, 15 playing right straight back into the wind today, significantly into the wind, but right back towards the beach, towards the dunes. And then 16 sort of playing along those same dunes on this side of them, playing like a true Lynx style golf hole. 17, tiniest par 3 that I think I've ever played, and just as difficult as if it had been 170 yards, not 113. And 18, of course, was a spectacular view from the tee there. Just a great closing hole for a golf course of this stature. But the rest of the golf course I really enjoyed. I thought the par 3s were extremely strong, more strong at times than maybe I would have liked. And I felt that the par 4s and 5s were equally as picturesque. And I think that's the thing with this golf course that you notice is that, there are some holes where you don't see, the hole itself is really beautiful, but you don't see a lot. But then there's the holes where you get into a position where you can look down the beach and see these big sand dunes and you got to get that imaginative, what if a hole played right along here? But a lot of holes do play right along there. So it was enjoyable. Start to finish, very enjoyable. And a very enjoyable day with the group that we had. We had a little match going, and it came down to the 18th. And We'll say Scott and Jeff held on and got the halve out of the match. So that was a nice finish.
Yeah, I think the one thing that happens for a lot of people is they come and they play and, you know, they maybe hope that there's more oceanside holes or, you know, golf side holes and they'll see that. But I think in some senses, some of the interior holes, the ones that are, you know, come away from the water, they're maybe underappreciated really more than anything. There's definitely some good holes there. It is a strong test to golf, as you said, just over 6,900 yards, but definitely plays a little bit longer. Definitely demands some precise shots. The green complexes that McBroom did have some tiers in them, and they definitely are sort of segmented out. So you definitely, if you're going to have a birdie putt, you're going to have to hit them fairly close, and that's pretty demanding. And for some cases, you get on some of those holes that, you know, that could be a long iron in your hand that you're trying to hit those shots. And as you said, getting those loops of holes that are closer to the water, especially the ending holes on the front side, mm-hmm. as well. The six, when you play the little par three across sort of a marsh area, and then seven, you head towards the dunes. Eight, you play alongside the dunes. Eight was a monster today.
It's
219 to the middle from the back deck. Today we had a back pin, back flag, and it was like 232, but it was dead into that wind. So, you know, some people might have to hit driver if they tried to play from the crows. I mean, even in our group, I think it was all full three woods today to try to get across there. And then nine coming back to the clubhouse. And then, as you said, that loop, you know, 15, we did play it in pretty severe wind. The peak of the wind today for us was while we were playing 15, 16, to the point that, you know, Ryan Garrett, who's with us, you know, hit a putt from probably 20 feet to went to about 3 feet and then actually blew off the green. And then myself had to hit an approach in, a shot in there, landed kind of the same direction, almost on a flat spot, 3 feet mm-hmm. from the hole, and ended up, you know, I walked up and got ready to putt. And next thing you know, the ball hadn't even addressed it and it blew off the green. The flag was kind of going sideways. It probably wasn't the ideal conditions that most people would want to play in, but maybe a little bit severe. But, you know, I think if you're playing Crowbush and not playing with a little bit of wind, I think it's, you know, not as good as it could be. And Terry Hamilton, who's the pro there, is great. And he said, you know, there's probably 4 days a year that there is no wind when you play Crowbush. So I'll respect a little bit that way. 16, which is only 360 yards, mm-hmm. but today probably played more about 480. And I'm not exaggerating here. I mean, there's a pond that is not, you know, is not difficult or shouldn't be difficult to cross. And today was a test for all of us. And you know, the shots we had left in there were unbelievable. I mean, I know for myself, I hit probably 480 yards of club that only went 360 yards to try and play that hole. And that made it pretty challenging that way. And as you said, the 113 yarder on 17.
Yeah.
I mean, some people joke and call it the, you know, the best short par five that you'll find, because it can be a real test. You know, you lob the ball up there, that's great. You know, you have a good chance of making a birdie, but if you're not precise, it's pretty hard to do, and a good solid finish there. So overall, any other impressions or things that left with you? I mean, I think we're going to maybe even try and sneak back there tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I want another go at it if we can squeeze it in. And I think our schedule is a little looser in the afternoon tomorrow that we might be able to do that. Obviously, we're flying out early on Monday, so if we can squeeze in, even if we can squeeze out on the back nine and get another kick it, or even just squeeze out and do 15, 16, 17, and 18 again tomorrow, that would be nice just to get a go at it again with maybe the wind laid down a little bit more and get a little bit more of an idea of what the holes are like to play instead of, you know, that severe wind.
Well, we joined up today with Matt Adams from SiriusXM Satellite Radio and Golf Channel, and we joined up with his listeners group that he has. He has a group of about 20 or so travelers that are up from the United States. So we're playing amongst that group. And then we joined that group for a special dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. Chef Michael Smith, who many people will be familiar with through his appearances on the Food Channel and various ventures, around. I mean, he's a very popular chef as far as Canada, but he resides here, and he and his wife own the Inn at Bay Fortune, which they converted into an amazing facility for dinners, and they host this fireworks dinner in the evening, this feast, and we were able to go over and enjoy that. And amongst the things, you know, you start with your grazing around the property. You can have a little bit of tour of the property, and they have the spot on the Inn at Bay Fortune, or the, you know, on Fortune Bay. That's incredible. It's just from the views, but it's really it's a farm, it's a restaurant, it's a hotel, it's everything all in once. And it's a pretty neat, special experience. And it's pretty hard to describe. I mean, I'm trying to a little bit, but we were joking at our table that, you know, if you told everybody, you know, kind of what was involved and, you know, with fire and walking out into a, you know, back part and eating some sausage and, you know, having, you know, oxtail tortillas or tacos or whatever up the front, and you know, Chef Michael Smith is sort of getting the evening going by shooting a potato cannon off and, you know, sabering a champagne, and it's just overall just quite an experience. I mean, how was it for you?
It was unique. There's no question about that. I mean, I've done dinners where it's kind of these slowly served courses over an evening before, but nothing like this. I mean, it's not just the food, and it's not just the way that they serve the food. It's the ambiance that you're set in. It's the moving around the property to the different stations, and for your appetizers, if you will, you know, to the, you know, kind of a traditional appetizer of having the oysters there, with some smoked salmon and the sausage and the different dips that you can try that are all, you know, made right there. And I think that's the one thing that he said, and what a polarizing figure he is. He's a big, tall guy, and just commands the audience that he was talking to. And it's it was interesting that just how passionate he is about how they do things there, and that everything is, they grow their own food. They, you know, it's a farm, and then they put these dinners together, and it's using the food rate that is grown, or they, you know, the fish right from the water. You know, it's just a very unique experience to go through, you know, and even in all the presentations, you know, how they come out with the bread tree, and it's, you know, it's not just as you would go to a normal restaurant and here's your loaf of bread with a knife stuck in it, sitting on a cutting board with a little thing of butter. Well, it's the bread comes out, it's sort of pre-sliced and sitting in this little tree thing, and then there's the different type of spreads that you can put on the bread as opposed to just a warm butter. That whole experience, I mean, it's just an element if you're doing a trip of any kind like this to Prince Edward Island. It's an element that you can add to your trip that's going to make your trip that much more unique than any other trip that you might take.
They really emphasize, like you said, everything that comes from the land, the water, everything that they have there from the earth. So it makes for quite the experience. Of note, if you're going to try to get to that feast, you're going to have to book it well in advance. I spoke with some of their staff just before we left, and they said basically if you want to get in there in July, August, which are the peak times for tourists, you're going to have to book as early as January when they kind of get their system, everything ready for the year. So if you plan to check that out, you can do so that way and make sure you check it out early. Now, I do know they do have the Flavor Shack is what they call it, which is a small outlet for some of the products that come from their farm and come from their gardens. And that's in Surrey, just down the road. That's available down there. They have served some of the bread, cheeses, all sorts of things that you can get there and just kind of grab and have a little bit of an experience that way if you want. But definitely highly recommended. A nice little addition to our experience here with the great people from Golf PEI. We've certainly enjoyed that. I don't think there's much else. I mean, obviously, that's pretty much an overview we did in day 4 and 5, heading towards day 6, which will be our final full day here in Prince Edward Island. It sounds like it's going to be a golf-filled day. Mm-hmm. We're going to play at Dunderave, as we mentioned, tomorrow, which is a Herds and Fry course down by at Brunel at the same spot that we were the other day. And then we'll see if we can sneak in a few extra holes here at Crowbush. And I should say, super comfortable here at Rod Crowbush Resort. This is our second night here. We've certainly enjoyed the amenities here. The convenience as well. I mean, it's really easy. Just, it's a 2-minute shuttle ride or a 5-minute walk and you're at the clubhouse at Crowbush. The golf course itself sort of is the fifth hole of the golf course is right here just outside the resort. So it's really easy to get to as far as to access. And the beach is right close by as well. Not a huge, huge resort, but certainly one that's very comfortable. The staff has been super friendly. I should mention the starter today was unbelievable.
Yes.
They do a really great job as far as presenting the property to people that are travelers, whether it's taking pictures on the first tee, giving a great description of everything. It's just that little extra touch. As far as from a starter that really kind of gets the day started off right.
It's something interesting that you mentioned there, Scott, about the starters. It's something that, we do see a little bit of that at other courses that are not tourism type golf courses or resort courses, but not much. And I think that the importance of that person, the importance of that first impression of a facility before your group even tees off, and how that sets the tone for the round. It's something that the golf course operators should really consider and think about, because it's not just about the pro shop staff. It is about that, because this is a service-based industry that we're in. It's not just about the pro shop staff. When you go to the first tee and you're ready to hit that first ball and someone's there, a friendly face greeting you and handing you your scorecard and explaining the golf course and pointing out the signature holes and pointing out some interesting points about the golf course, that goes such a long way to setting the tone for somebody's round. And then when they're done, having that someone there to see them when they come in with their cart afterwards and ask them how their round was, and so it's such an important thing, and it's done everywhere here.
Yeah. For sure. And I think you're bang on there. That interaction that we have had, and it's not because anybody's, knows we're golf media people and they're not trying to play to it. Yeah, they do it for everyone. They have no idea. We're just a couple of golfers, really. I mean, that's all they know. It's fantastic to see that level of service and how important it is to have that nice personal interaction, that it's not about just, grabbing your money and away you go. They genuinely want to see you have a good time, and, they've thought out that service aspect of it. So that's fantastic. So I think people would enjoy that if they come down here to PEI. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. And thanks again for anybody who's been listening to these podcasts from Prince Edward Island. We certainly enjoyed sharing some content with you. We've got one more day to go and one more podcast to go. We hope to continue beyond that with some other podcast content, some other audio content in the future. In the meantime, hopefully you listen back to the podcasts we've had the last few days. Please come back and make sure you have a listen to our one tomorrow to wrap up this trip. So enjoy that, and remember, always go for the stick.